welcome everyone to the One More Game Podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Jeremy Culver, aka Darcy, and with me is the California Thirst Quencher, Pete Legia. Pete, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. We got a big weekend this weekend. You know what weekend it is?
What is that?
It is Royal Rumble weekend, and it is also NFL Championship Sunday weekend as well. Ooh, we get to decide who we get to find out who's going to be and represent the AFC and the NFC in the Super Bowl. So I got my Austin 316 shirt to represent the Royal Rumble. So that was totally planned and not just the shirt I was wearing all day
to represent football.
Man, we are super. We just super planned this out, and we just did not have a coincidence just happen.
Not at all.
We're just that good. We're just that awesome.
We planned all day. What are we gonna wear for the podcast?
You're goddamn right.
And we delivered. That's what we get here on the One More Game Podcast, everybody. You get not just the lovely voices of Pete and I, but you also get the great shirts that we use to represent what is going to be on your TVs this weekend.
Especially we can't even see mine most of the time unless I actively present it.
You have to do the rest of the podcast just holding your shirt up. You know, you just, the entire time that you talk, just...
You just can't even see my mouth. I look like the dude from Home Improvement. Just like looking over the fence.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to just show your eyes the entire time that we do this. But, you know, I want to ask before we, of course, get into the podcast, as many know here, of course, if you're a longtime listeners of the podcast, both of us love wrestling. Both of us also love football. So I'm going to ask you, who do you got winning in the football games this weekend?
So I'm a big Patrick Mahomes fan. I think he is the greatest quarterback. Yeah, he is with my homies. I think he is the greatest quarterback to, by the end of it, we will say that he is probably the greatest quarterback to have ever played. Not necessarily in terms of like overall wins, like Brady's got that pretty firmly locked up, and I don't really conceive anybody actually topping that. I mean, it was like, he's what, like 7-3 in Super Bowls? Like,
something just like getting that. I mean, he's played 23 seasons.
Yeah, just getting to 10 Super Bowls in general, like, is like, what? How is that even like a stat? Like, that's just like what? That's like about 20% of the Super Bowls that have been played, like Tom Brady. But I think like Patrick Mahomes, just the things that he can do, is just something I've just never seen anybody play. Having said all that, I'm kind of leaning the Bengals, man. Part of it is Mahomes is going to be playing injured. Yeah. He does have a high ankle sprain. And part of it is, I think the Bengals team is just better, a little bit better. It is going to be played in Kansas City. So that's a big plus side of them. But they're also paying Mahomes like $45, $50 million a year, whereas the Bengals are right now paying Joe Burrow like $11 million a year. So They got an extra $30 to $40 million to play with the roster that the Kansas City does not have. Because when you have probably the greatest quarterback to ever play the game, you're paying him a lot. So I'm going to go ride with the Bengals, and then I'm going to ride with the Eagles.
Oh, and
I'm going to ride with the Eagles, and I have no shot in the dark. I think any Super Bowl matchup we get is going to be really good. It's just a shot in the dark, honestly. The only real difference is that the Eagles have Jalen Hurts, and I think Jalen Hurts is we'd probably both agree he's a better quarterback than Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy's played sensational.
No! Mr. Irrelevant is the best.
he played fantastic, and I think he's added a dimension that Jimmy Garoppolo, as much as our boy Jimmy G is you and our mutual friend AT, love Jimmy G. I do think Brock Purdy's added a dimension to that Niners offense that they may not have had. But eventually I just think he's going to look like a rookie quarterback. And I know it really hasn't happened yet, and that's been almost 10 games now. But I think eventually it's just he's going to do – it even kind of showed up in the Dallas game. There was a couple of throws. Like, there was the one like on the goal line where the ball bounced on his – or he threw it like right at the defensive lineman, like right at the shoulder pad, and it bounced, and the dude almost intercepted it. is just going to have it. I understand I'm rambling. Basically, Bengals and Niners.
I'm laughing over here. We turned into a football podcast here.
We turned into Nate Tice and Robert Mays just all of a sudden. I apologize. Bengals and Niners. Bengals and Eagles.
I'm going to just go. I'm going Bengals, but I'm going to just be the opposite because I can't. I want Mr. Irrelevant. We're going 49ers over here. We'll see, of course, when we come back on the next one, what it's going to look like. But everybody, we've been talking about football a lot. Let's get to the podcast. Welcome to the One More Game podcast. This is a podcast that is centered around making sure you're informed about all the video game news happening around the world, even football, if it was going to talk a little bit about Madden here on the podcast. Whether it's Xbox, PlayStation, Nintendo, or PC, if there's news that you need to know about, we'll make sure that you know about it. When you're listening to this on your podcast service, make sure you hit the subscribe button or the follow button, depending on what your service offers. And if your podcast service allows reviews, please leave a 5-star review and tell everyone why you love the One More Game podcast, because we really enjoy bringing this to you each and every week. If you'd like to be part of the show by asking a question or suggesting a topic for discussion, head on over to pressstartnews.net/onemoregame and fill out that submission form, and your submission could be used on the next episode. Or you could drop it off in the chat here live on youtube.com/pressstart28 when we are recording it live, and we will bring it up as it comes up in the show. So we want to give a shout out to Ronnie, Zach, Cobalt, all here in the chat, spouting some knowledge with us, showing some hearts and loves, even though when we're talking about football and not video games here on the One More Game podcast, they're still loving it, and you should love it too. So make sure you come over here while we record it live. But if this is your first time to the podcast, welcome to the podcast. I hope you enjoy your listen, and I hope you enjoy your stay. But if you are returning, you already know what it is. We start off every single podcast talking about what we've been playing lately. So, Darce, what have you been playing lately? Because we're skipping you for right now.
You had your moment, Pete.
Yeah, we'll get to you in a bit. You've been rambling this entire time, so it's time for me to talk a little bit on my podcast, all right? And so I made reference to it last week, even the week beforehand when we talked about Ubisoft for two straight weeks. I was like, last week, I really have been in this urge to play The Division 2 for a while. I really have been wanting to play The Division 2. So I, you know, basically sucked it up, got to my PC, I re-downloaded The Division 2, and I played it, even streamed it here on youtube.com/pressstart28. And Pete, man, I forgot how much I love The Division 2. Like, it's one of those things where it's not that I necessarily forgot. I had someone ask me during the podcast, they're like, how long have you been playing this game, Darce? And I said to them, based off of the hours that, of course, The Division 2 tells you when you start to play, I was like, oh, well, I've been playing this for about 22 hours. Now, let me say, this 22 hours was all like within the first week and a half of the game launching. Like, it was like really early into the game. And I just, like, from that question, I went, wait a minute, what made me drop the game? Like, what made me just all of a sudden stop playing? And I could not think of it. I legitimately sat there going, what made me stop this game? What made me stop playing it? And I think it was one of those things where The Division 2, like, I was enjoying it so much, but another game must have came out, like, at some point after that 22 hours, that I decided to play that game and I would jump back to The Division 2, and it never happened. Like, that's that's the only thing I could think of, because this game has been out since 2019. I loved what I played of The Division 2. Again, I even said it on the stream. I was actually, Pete, you might not know this, but I was actually considering to becoming a Division 2 streamer and content creator. Ooh. So, like, I was going to still create my, like, press start content, like, as always.
Yeah.
But, like, I was going into The Division 2 was like, I'm going to stream this all the time. I'm going to make content on it. And based off of, like, how it started, I was, like, streaming it and I was enjoying it and having a blast. And then, like I said, I just dropped off it. But I was having a lot of fun enjoying it. And I really look forward to getting back to it. I will play it some more. I'm not going to drop it again at the moment, I should say, at least. But I do have some other games, of course, that I'm going to play. Like we were talking about right before the podcast, DLC, the last DLC for Stranger of Paradise dropped today. So I did buy the DLC, and I'm going to jump into that later tonight. But at some point, I will get back to The Division 2. Pete, did you ever play The Division 2?
and not play any of the division games. Sorry to say. I know that makes us not friends anymore, maybe, yeah, but
you know how you rectify
How do I rectify that?
You go play it on PlayStation Plus, because PlayStation Plus has the Division 2 for you to go and join and play. And
if anyone has Division 2, you can go ahead. You didn't know what the counter to that was. Oh,
no. Well, to be honest, I was more not listening to you, and I was just like, I'm going to go right to rectifying the whole situation.
Yeah, of course you weren't. but I did not know that you were planning on being a Division 2 streamer. I respect the hell out of people that stream like one game. And I understand that, like, for a lot of people, once they get popular with one game, they're kind of almost forced to stream it, because, like, they lose so much of their viewers when they don't stream said game and they stream something else. But goddamn, I tried that, and it is difficult.
Like, did you try it with Arena? Magic Arena?
I tried it with Arena, and then I was trying to do, like, Hearthstone and Arena, and then it's just, like, that third day, that fourth day, that fifth day in a row, when you're just going and playing the same thing, the same game, and, like, for me personally, it's just, like, I don't want to do that when I'm in my real life. I don't know if I like any game that much to play it like that consistently after like a couple of weeks. But yeah, going to, off about how you dropped a game just sadly actually made me think of remember how into Chained Echoes I was. Yes. I gave that raving review. I don't think I played it since that podcast, honestly, for a similar reason, because I made that resolution to try to play a new game every week. Like, I've been playing a new game, so like I was like, well, I can't keep playing this, otherwise I'm never going to play another new game, and I'm gonna have Jeremy laughing at me like 2 weeks after the new year, so I better keep going and trying to play that. So I literally have not played Chained Echoes, as much as I love that game, so I totally understand that aspect too.
Yeah. It's now I want to clarify real quick. I was only going to laugh at you if you came back into the chat and said, so I downloaded Magic Arena and been playing.
Oh, okay.
That,
it was just Magic Arena specifically.
Yeah. Magic Arena or Genshin, but because you said that you did.
I've not touched Genshin this year yet. Yeah, I've not touched Genshin in like a month.
Magic Arena. You were like, I don't even have it installed on my computer. And I said I'd laugh when you brought it up next.
Dude, time. I'm getting that itch. There's a new set coming out. I really don't think I'm gonna do it, because it costs so much money. Like, I usually drop like the $100 or whatever it costs to pay like the pre-sale, just to like, so I can actually have something to like dive into. So I think that's kind of the biggest negative, or not negative, but the biggest thing to like detract me from actually jumping in the arena. But I was looking at the spoil. I was definitely looking at spoilers and looking at the new cards, and there's a lot of weird horror stuff in this new set coming out. But no, that's a whole nother discussion. So.
Well, I will pre-build up my laughing for when you finally do cave. and so like, I'm building it up right
now.
I also want to shout out real quick in chat. We had, of course, a lot of people dropping off knowledge about Division. So Zach talking about Division was fun, but he never played Division 2, even though he wanted to try it. Ronnie, who was actually part of my Division 2 clan, talked about here, said Division 2 was great. He just got busy and of course didn't go back to it, similar to what I said. And then Death the Kid, a good friend of mine, said right there, just finished my healer build for Division 2 after 2 years. I get it. It takes time. But you still did it. So boom, brownie points for you. And I also want to shout out, because I was laughing, for those that are watching the YouTube version of this and not watching or listening to the podcast version, you would have saw me laughing there for a bit, and it's because I'm laughing in the chat, as you can see that a lot of people are saying that they're here because I yelled at them for not being here last week, and so they're in this episode. I did threaten to demote them from Cobalt Hawk to Cobalt Bird, so Cobalt Hawk is back here in the chat. And then yes, Ronnie and Zach, I did yell at them earlier today about not being here. So thank you all for showing up on your own free will and being part of the podcast.
Yeah, not threatened at all.
But everyone, we're gonna get into the game catalog, because the game that Pete wants to bring up actually goes with our game catalog here. And so of course, here on the One More Game podcast, we're going to talk about the Xbox Developer Direct and what we thought of that. Washington Post shutting down their games writer division. Naughty Dog is done with one of their trademark games, and a very popular game that's about to come out is delayed because of a trademark dispute, or at least the developers say that's not actually true. We'll talk about that all here on the One More Game podcast, Cobalt on our own. But we're starting off with our main catalog, and that is, of course, the Xbox Developer Direct. So the Xbox Developer Direct did go off on Wednesday this week. And of course, as we knew heading into it, it was going to be a very small select of games being shown off. And what we kind of figured, even though they didn't say it directly, but we kind of figured we were going to get release dates for all those games. And we did, for the most part. We got a release window still for one of those games. But Pete, we're going to kind of kick things off with probably one of the more brighter spots of the Direct, at least based off of all the buzz going on in social media, if you are following that discussion. And that is, of course, the surprise drop of Hi-Fi Rush coming from Tango Gameworks, the studio that brought you The Evil Within and Ghostwire Tokyo, two games that look nothing like Hi-Fi Rush. Pete, this is the game that you were telling me before the podcast that you've been playing lately. So let me ask you a little bit. What have you been thinking about your experience with Hi-Fi Rush?
I also got to add that they did, what were the two games? It wasn't Ghostwire Tokyo. What was the other one?
The Evil Within.
They did The Evil Within 2.
Yes.
They said that on the I just found that funny in the little video that they had. It's like obviously or whatever underneath.
Yeah.
So I guess the what I've been playing lately now has been I played Hi-Fi Rush. I won't say I took the training wheels off yet because I only really like played through the first level. You play as this character named Chai who goes to this corporation and somehow gets his arm, which is in a sling, so it's injured in some fashion. It's replaced with a robot arm, but also his MP3 player somehow gets like fused with his body and also the arm. And he gets this superpower that basically makes the entire world around him warp to like music. And it's a platformer game. And like I said, I only played to the first level. It was pretty good. It was pretty fun. I enjoyed a lot of it. So it's kind of like a rhythm. It's a rhythm game plus a action platformer game, which was really interesting. And the part that I really enjoyed about the gameplay is that you would think that a rhythm game like this, like it would be really focused on like the puzzle part being just the rhythm part. And like if you fail to keep the rhythm or fail to play the game in tune with the music, which is also done by a lot of they license a lot of songs by like a lot of bands, including like Nine Inch Nails. Like it's actual music that's been made for the game, or they licensed it to be on the game itself. But anyway, like a lot of these rhythm games, when they have these kind of action things, like you have to keep the beat. It's just the rhythm game itself. There's nothing else to it. This is a platformer game that has rhythm game elements, which I like because most of the time it'd be like if it was like a Guitar Hero, if you didn't keep up with the beat in Guitar Hero or Rock Band, the level would fail and you'd have to start over again. This one, when you keep the beat going, when you use your attacks in rhythm, in tune with the rhythm of the game, of the song being played during the particular sequence of game that you're playing, you just get bonus like on your attack. It doesn't just like your attack doesn't work or anything like that. It doesn't do as much damage, but it does more damage if you get the attacks in rhythm. But like that, I think that's kind of cool because like I'm not musically gifted in any way or fashion. So like I gotta say, like I was probably getting like they score your level like based on the amount of points you got plus like what they call it just time, I believe, for keeping rhythm. And I was getting like, you know, C's on the just time and stuff like that, but I was still able to play through the first level, which was nice. I don't know about future levels if it gets to the point where it's like, yo, you can't actually do this without being in tune with the rhythm, like the damage just doesn't add up. But it was really cool that I was able to at least like play through part of it in that way. It's a really colorful world. It's cel shaded and stuff like that. The characters so far that I met are really interesting. There's a cat robot that's called 808, really cool, and just kind of like floats around and helps you out. Alright, so the main character's named Chai. I met the accomplice that controls 808 named Peppermint. They got some big name voice actors doing the stuff too. The bosses so far have all been kind of like kooky and stuff like that. It's kind of like almost like a Ratchet and Clank kind of vibe in that regard, like the way the characters are played. So I've been really enjoying that aspect too. It's been a lot of fun. If you have Game Pass, I recommend if you like platformer games rather. I recommend trying it out. I think it's worth the download. I've been having a lot of fun playing it. Plan to play it a little more, probably through at least another couple of levels. Game Pass itself says the game's only like 8 hours, so it's not a very long game. So you got also that, like maybe play it through a weekend or a week or whatever and get through it and, you know, have a little bit of a fun and a little bit of a throwback, I guess, also.
Yeah, I've seen, again, it's been dominating social media, at least prior to today. Now, today, of course, the dominant of social media has been the Dead Space remake. But I'm talking a little bit about the, you know, beforehand. I've been seeing a lot of people very high on the game, singing its praises. Mm-hmm. I haven't jumped on it myself yet because I haven't reactivated my Xbox Game Pass at the moment, but I will because I do like Tango Gameworks. Obviously, we talked about it on the podcast that I played Ghostwire Tokyo, and while it did not hit as much as I had hoped, of course, with all the marketing material leading into that game, I still ended up feeling satisfied with the game, of course, at the end of it, as I talked about, even though it was my most disappointing game of 2022. But it is such a far cry from what they make. And so going back to the Xbox Developer Showcase now, you know, the only word that we got of this game, which if we had done the podcast, you know, earlier in the week, which we did do Monday's episode, but it dropped on Tuesday, I guess I should say, is that there was the rumor or the leak that Hi-Fi Rush was coming from Tango Gameworks, but no one knew exactly like what this game was, when it was coming out, any of that nature. So the fact that it like it came out in the showcase, it was so vibrant, so catchy, so, you know, clean looking, and of course coming from a studio that makes horror games, it was definitely a like, wow, this really stands out. This has really caught our attention. And then, of course, it ends with, like, it's available today, and you can play it right now on Game Pass. A lot of people flock to the Game Pass to play it, and then it's great that it delivered from there.
Yes.
So, like, you know, you talked about, of course, you've only played the first level. From what I've heard is, like, the first two levels are basically very tutorial heavy. When it hits the level three, apparently the game, like, really sings and brightens and like just becomes even more awesome. So nice. You know, I'm looking forward to when I finally do play it. Now, I will admit, maybe it's the cynical side of me, there's been a part of me that I'm like, I don't know if it's gonna hit as much as it's been hitting for other people. And that's because like the game that it reminds me of that you may not remember me talking about it because I think it was either right as I started the podcast, it was definitely before you started, but there was a game that I played and I did review here on the Press Start channel. It was called Rhythm Fighters, and Rhythm Fighters was a lot of fun and I did enjoy it. That game, Hi-Fi Rush, reminds me of that, but what you're saying that does definitely differentiates it though is with Rhythm Fighters, you had to fight in combat with the tune, and if you didn't, it punished you a lot. It sounds like in this game, it's not doing that as much. Like you said, you kind of get more bonuses, so to speak, if you play in tune. That may separate that feeling some.
Yeah, it definitely felt, the rhythm game aspect definitely felt more additive. And the Rhythm Fighters, I believe you called it, that sounds more like what I would expect a game like this to play out as. So I was actually kind of surprised that when it did not actually play out that way. And very, very happy about it. The one thing I will say is like, I don't know how social media has been reacting to it. It's kind of like a popcorn flick for me, kind of a popcorn flick game where it's like you go to a movie, it's not necessarily big named, or maybe it is, but it's not like something that's like going to win like an Oscar or something like that, like best picture. But like you get there, it's like, oh, this isn't a waste of my time. I had a lot of fun doing this. Probably not going to go see it again or another time unless like, you know, your partner or something like that wants to go see it and you saw it without them for some reason or whatever, or you see it on stream. But that's kind of what the vibe of the game is. And to be fair, it's only, like I said, supposedly according to Game Pass, only like 8 hours. So it's definitely like not a game you have to invest a lot of time into complete.
Yeah, right now, of course, the game, because it was a surprise drop, you know, reviews out there aren't there aren't a ton out there. But right. I mean, it's getting reviewed really well. Of course, it's connecting with fans a lot, like even on Metacritic with user reviews. 682 are positive, 7 are mixed, 32 are negative, which is, you know, obviously great for it. And it has a 95 from Xbox Era, an 80 from VGC. Let's see here, 9.5 from Way Too Many Games. You know, it's getting good reviews, and people on social media are, you know, it's early in the year, but they're already like, man, this is an amazing game, one of the best games out this year. And I'm it's one of those things where it's similar to your facial reaction is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I think it'll be a fun game, but I don't know if it'll connect as much as I'm seeing.
I don't know if I'd go that far. Say like it's like a game of the year material. It doesn't get that. I know. I understand you're saying what the socials are saying. I'm saying I don't get that vibe personally. Quick shout out before we move along. The video part of it that promoted this game, I actually really appreciated from another standpoint too, because they had the I forgot their titles, but they had like one of the Japanese creators and one of the American creators on there. And usually when that happens, the Japanese like will at least say their introduction in English, and then they'll continue on in Japanese, and the Americans will continue on in English. The American side also threw in some Japanese commentary, like they were also like kind of like appreciative of the Japanese side of it too, and kind of reached out to that, where it seems like, you know, it's usually just one way. It's not just like kind of like both ways. So I actually really appreciate that aspect too, that it felt more inclusive, the video did, from that introduction, just in that way, even though it was a minor thing. And who knows if the guy actually knew Japanese or just was taught those few phrases for the actual like recording that they did. But in either case, it felt more inclusive that way, which I appreciated too.
From my understanding is he does know Japanese. I think he
That's
is,
awesome.
I think he is or has been a translator for some members of the studio before. So that is nice. That is my understanding. I could be totally wrong on that. So if anyone knows for sure, you can correct me if I'm wrong. But I think that was the case. But let's just talk about the showcase or the direct overall now at this point. So Pete, of course, you know, I know that you got to check it out and see what your thoughts were on this. So what did you think overall of how this direct, the first developer direct from Xbox went?
Oh, this is their first?
This is their first.
I thought it went mostly pretty well. I mostly enjoyed what I saw. There's a couple things that I thought were interesting. I thought the Minecraft Legends looked really fun. I don't know if it's a game I will ever actually play personally, but it looked like a really interesting, like kind of like change of pace of like, they didn't call it a MOBA, so it's not really a MOBA, but it kind of like looked like the play style was similar to that. And I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, it was like a top, PvP it might be version. Like a,
yeah, it's like a MOBA / tower defense kind of vibe thing that they had going on. And I thought that was really cool. Like I said, I don't know if I ever play it. The Forza Motorsport looked and sounded awesome, and they made sure to tell you it looks and sounds awesome, because they didn't really talk about the gameplay like at all, but they did talk about all the things they used to how they make the dirt and the cars shine and the light refracting and all that stuff, and how the sound like is and how they how the sound goes with the cars and everything, and how they made the one track they talked about, Camalia, I believe it was called. They had like 3 million pictures taken from like the track or like the area that they were like basing the track on to like make sure everything looked and snapped, and it looked and sounded really, really great. And I couldn't tell you anything about the gameplay because they didn't really talk about the gameplay. And the only thing they really mentioned about the game itself was like, they had like 500 cars and they'll have like 100 new ones. And that was about it. So that was kind of like disconcerting in a little way, but also like I'm not a car game guy, so I don't know if like that's the thing the players care about more. Like, they just keep translating the same like game controls and stuff over and over again, then maybe they don't care about that.
That game, just for input, Forza Motorsport, that is basically Xbox's Gran Turismo. So,
right.
So, of course, that's why they harped on like the cars and how realistic it looks, because this is the simulator aspect, whereas, of course, like Forza Horizon is more that arcadey, where like everybody kind of jumps in and has fun type of things. This is definitely more for those like car enthusiast, driving enthusiast type of racing experience.
Okay, so that makes a lot more sense why they emphasize on that. Elder Scrolls Necrom seemed really cool. By the way, before I continue, Forza Motorsport was the one that had a released window. It didn't have a date. It just said coming in 2023. The other Minecraft Legends and ESO Necrom have actual dates. ESO Necrom, Elder Scrolls Online Necrom seemed really awesome, really sweet. A lot of the stuff they're adding a new class, Arcanist, a new region, Eastern Morrowind, which they said hasn't been visited since like 1994, whatever game that was a part of. They got a Dragonborn Skyrim DLC, the character that's going to be in the new one. If you want more information on that, they did a global reveal after the direct. That was another like half hour video. You could find that on YouTube. And then we get to I don't know if this is a popular opinion. I was not impressed really with Redfall. Really? I don't know if this is a hot take or not. I was not impressed. It didn't really look, after all the stuff maybe it's just because I was so used to the Forza Motorsport, but like after Forza Motorsport and after Hi-Fi Rush and after it like looked really snappy and really good, I felt like Redfall was kind of lacking in some of the, and that was just a personal thing. I will say also, when they were talking about, they had the creators all talking about it after like the gameplay demo or whatever they did. They were saying like, we were able to get all of our favorite things together in this one game. And it felt exactly like that in both a positive way. And it also felt like that in a negative way to me, where it felt kind of jarring at points. Cause it felt, I was sitting there, I was watching it, and just because I'm how I am, I don't know if this is a normal human reaction, I was trying to compare it to things, but I was comparing it to like, oh, this game's kind of like Left 4 Dead. Well, wait, there's also a sneaking portion of it. Well, wait, there's also this other kind of like just straight action portion of it. Well, wait, there's also this other aspect. And it felt like a bunch of things they were trying to do at once. And they called it like the most ambitious project they've ever done. And it felt like that. And it's really cool that they're trying it. But a lot of the pieces, and maybe when it comes all together, I have a completely different opinion because this game is supposed to be on Game Pass. So I will try it. But it all felt like it's trying to be Resident Evil and also a sneaking like silencer, like Hitman kind of thing or whatever. And also like it was trying to be like four or five different games at once. And it's like, I'm not sure if this is going to work. And if it does, that's awesome. But I'm not 100% sure if it's going to work. And it didn't really grip me in a positive way like I would have thought it would have.
I'm a little surprised by that, only because kind of like, I feel like, I know that you are, you know, your type of gaming kind of is like in various spots. It kind of depends on like a lot of factors, but I just feel like the thematic aspect of Redfall like would kind of be like up your alley in a sense. And so I'm a little surprised that you feel that way, but I will tell you, and maybe you'll feel a little bit more at ease on this, is that some of the things you're saying is not like a hot take. It's what some other people are thinking as well. Especially like when you said that the game looks a lot like Left 4 Dead. A lot of people still don't know exactly what type of game this is. And it's because at least in my understanding is that Arcane Austin, which is the studio that's developing this game, which is of course their Austin based studio, because Arcane also has a studio in Montreal, I think it is, or something like that. They haven't been able to describe it very well at the moment, and so it has left a lot of people wondering exactly what is this. Now, for myself, I've always been sold on Redfall, and it sounds really ridiculous, but like I've been sold on Redfall since it was just the thematic trailer, when it literally was like no gameplay, no nothing. It was just literally a cinematic like showing of the world. And I was like, I'm totally on board with this shit. And so like seeing this, it made me again, just kind of be more like, dude, I cannot wait to play this. But awesome. I am still like you, where it is, I don't know exactly what this game wants to be. And I'm going to shout out Death the Kid here in chat, because we are in our one of our Facebook groups chatting about this. And so some people are like, Redfall is like Destiny. And I'm like, no, it's not Destiny, because Arcane has already came out that it's not a games as a service. And that's the one thing that I would say is like different. Whereas like with Destiny, right, you need to log in a lot. You need to play to get better loot, to continue to take on these raids and shape your character and things like that. they say that this is a co-op experience where you can play it solo, you can play it with friends, and there's like the, you know, the skill trees off of that.
Yeah.
So like how I would describe it, even though Death the Kid keeps in our chat saying that, in our Facebook group said that I'm not correct with this, but I'm still going to stick with this because, and follow me, is Redfall feels more like Outriders with me. Because Outriders, the game that came from Square Enix that was made by the People Can Fly studio, who also made Bulletstorm, for those that don't know, is like they described it, and a lot of people mistook it going into it as well. A lot of people thought Outriders was going to be like Destiny. And People Can Fly kept coming out saying like, no, our game is a co-op shooter where you can play it solo, you can play it with friends, you'll get better gear, better weapons and things of that nature, but it's not necessarily going to have like weekly content rolling out for you to experience and enjoy, and there's not really going to be various seasons. We will have updates, we will have DLC, which of course they gave out the World Slayer DLC, but like it's not a world that you're technically going to be in, day out, like a full-time streamer, like a Destiny streamer, yeah. Right? And that's kind of what it feels like with Redfall, is it's going to be that same thing. But I'm really excited because I love Dishonored. Arkane is the makers of Dishonored. I haven't fully played it yet, but I was really hyped on Deathloop before it came out. And Deathloop, of course, is also made by Arkane. So, like, I'm really looking forward to this. And the fact that we got the release date finally, May 2nd, is awesome. That was a game that they said it was going to release last year, 2022. And I, like, from the basically onset was like, it is not releasing in 2022 because there's just not been trailers showing off the gameplay, anything of that nature. So when it got delayed out of there, I was like, I totally understand it. But as you might remember, Pete, they talked about it in their summer showcase, all the games they showed off would release within the next 12 months, and Redfall was one of them. And I was still like, we don't really have a lot, so I don't know. Mm-hmm. And of course, we're into January, and it was similar, like, we still haven't seen much. I don't know if it's actually going to release within the next 12 months, and it will. It'll hit basically about a month and a half before that 12-month gap that they gave. So I'm excited for that. I want to just shout out real quick before we kind of get to these other parts, though. The Minecraft Legends game, I agree with you. I thought it looked pretty cool. I would definitely try it because, again, it's going to be on Game Pass. But this one, again, is an action strategy game. So Minecraft has been expanding. Minecraft Dungeons was a dungeon crawler. This is one going into the more action strategy universe of it, which is usually a genre that I really like. That PvP mode sounded cool, and I think I would play it with friends because the one thing that, like, I know for a fact I would not touch, and it sounded like they wouldn't force me to based on their thing, is the base building. I fucking hate base building. I have never been a big base builder unless it is literally like a tower defense where I could just, like, you know, use an orc and, like, set it down and there we go, you know, Warcraft 3 type of thing. But, like, I'm not going to touch that. But if I have a friend, if I have a friend who wants to build the base, do it, because I'll just go and slash things and kill things. Like, that's all me. Again, we already spoke about Tango. Tango Gameworks' Hi-Fi Rush. And then I'm right with here with you. I thought the ESO Necrom looked really awesome. I've always been intrigued to get back into Elder Scrolls Online way back when, because this game has been out forever now. I was a beta tester for ESO Online.
Oh, shit. And I didn't know that.
Yeah, and I hated it. The beta testing, it was awful. Now, granted, when the game released, they made a lot of changes since then. And from what I understand is the game is a lot better than that experience as a beta tester. So I'm interested in it. And the fact that they're also, even though it's only for a limited time, but they're allowing you to play all the previous chapters and all the DLC that was beforehand, I find really awesome. And of course, the game's on Game Pass and on PlayStation Plus. So, like, I've been debating about diving into it. My biggest gripe that I want to get into, and it's more so, again, like a personal gripe, is the Forza Motorsport game. So Forza Motorsport they've been saying, like, last year they said it was going to come out in 2022, and of course it got delayed out. You know, like, everyone knows Xbox's year of 2022 was very rough because they just did not have a lot of games. I don't think they technically released a first-party studio game in the year. I could be wrong with that, but they had a lot of games delayed out of 2022. And I made that mention when we first talked about the Developer Direct, was that the 12-month gap that they said, they went on their thing and say, all the games you're about to see are coming out in the next 12 months. And we still don't have a date, like even just like a month date with Forza Motorsport. I don't think it's coming out within the next couple months. Like, it's not coming out by the end of June.
It's not coming out by the end of June. No, I'm almost 100% guarantee that.
Yeah, and I'm going to go off of it. Of course, it came out today, so of course I didn't send this to you, Pete, but, you know, industry insider Jeff Grubb, who reveals a lot of things, has said on a podcast that he works with that he's been hearing this and he feels very confident to say this, which is Forza is going to slip into the later this year. It still will release in 2023, but not within that 12-month window. And for me personally, it's not a big issue, but it would make me feel better as a gamer if I cared more about this game. Just come out and say that, Xbox. Come out and say it's not going to hit that 12-month window. But the reason it won't is because we're trying to make this the best Forza Motorsport game yet. And so we need a little bit more time. Like, just come out ahead of it. And I know from a lot of people, of course, they don't care. They're not going to really hold Xbox to that messaging. But for me, it's one of those things of, we need to hold some of these companies a little bit closer to their words, right? It's not to yell at them. It's not to be mad at them, because, of course, like, we should be reasonable. We understand games are really hard to make. They're very freaking hard to make. But it's one of those things of, just be forthright when things aren't going to go with the way that you're thinking, right? You said it's 12 months. Yeah. It's not going to be 12 months. So just come out right away and be like, get ahead of it before it gets all the way close to June and then goes, yeah, it's not going to hit that time frame, you know, or they'll act like they ignore it and they'll just finally, when they release a date, it's coming out in October, would be like, that, yeah, you're just ignoring the 12-month window that you gave.
Yeah.
So that was my only gripe.
Especially because, like, you know, the people working on the game, we're working on a crunch to get it in that 12-month window. And if you just are like, hey, it's coming out in 2023, maybe you give them a little more time, a little more of a break, and even if it's in the back end of that. And because but like I said, you know, they were trying to get and crunch that game out within amount of time, and then they were probably like, yeah, but we could probably do more with it if you gave us a little more time. So just give them the more time. Like, why do you need to squeeze it out in 12 months? Just make it 18, make it 16, whatever.
Yep, I agree.
Not that big a deal.
Agreed. Anyway. And then the last thing that I just want to say, and it's more so a question, is, as you know, they said going into this that Starfield was going to get its own showcase. And of course, some people were hoping that at the end of this Developer Direct that they would announce when that showcase was.
Yeah, they did not announce
that. And they have, you know, since put out a blog post, of course, about the Developer Direct. And they said in that blog post still that Starfield is going to have its own event. Starfield, theoretically, is also supposed to come out within that 6-month window, or by the end of June. So that's what I was going to ask is, first, when do you think we actually get the showcase? And then two, do you think it can actually come out by the end of June when you have Redfall May 2nd now?
So when do they announce this? When do they promote this direct? When they start promoting a date for this direct, out of curiosity?
They promoted this direct, if I remember correctly, it was about 2 weeks ago. It was pretty close to this coming out.
So if I had to guess, it'd be sometime between the last week of February and the first half of March. Would be my guess for Starfield. And if we're asking for a target date, I would guess, and we kind of already hinted at this when we did our look ahead to the, like, we'd said, you know, either Redfall or Starfield, so they don't step on one another, basically, was probably going to get delayed. I would expect Starfield not to come out before August, and maybe closer to like September. So
I still hold firm with the fact that I think Starfield would do best coming out in late October, early November. I think that even though that, again, you don't necessarily have the holiday sale, you know, push at the moment, you know, anymore when it comes to like buying the consoles. Like, Game Pass is just like all year round, right? They want you to do that. Mm-hmm. But I just think that that is such a good heading into the holiday, about to, you know, families buying things for their families, that I just think it fits best in that window. They were trying to target November, yeah, again, November 11th, if I remember correctly, last year before it got delayed. So it's another one where it's just like, I'm like, just get ahead of it and just say like, hey,
pronounce it.
Just it's gonna come a little bit later. But of course, I think that they're gonna be waiting till that direct. But I just think that, or that showcase. But I just think if you, it's better to not just save that till the showcase, because if it gets announced in the showcase, then you're gonna have a lot of articles come out of it going, you know, Xbox reveals the date of the show of Starfield. But they, you know, they waited to the last thing. They waited to the last minute to notify us. And, you know, Death the Kid, of course, is talking in here that says, you know, feel like they may need the time. And I agree. I think that that is
just, yeah, which give is totally them the fine. Time. Just say that.
Yeah. Just say give that them they the time. Time. We all want that game to be great. I have said I'm not a huge Starfield fan, but I'm also not a huge, like, Bethesda Studios type of fan. Like, I've never really liked Fallout. I liked Skyrim. I liked Elder Scrolls games, but I'm not a Fallout fan. So Starfield has never really, like, drawn me in to be, like, this great thing. But I want it still to be great, because I want to, when I join it, to be like, wow, this shocked me, right? I don't want it to be a janky mess like it was Fallout 4 when it first released, and Fallout 76 type of thing when, you know, that needed a lot of fixings. But yeah, get ahead of it. All right, so we've been really long on that one, so we're gonna make these other ones a little bit quicker. So let's go to this next article. Of course, we got the Washington Post is shutting down their game division. This is coming from Kotaku, written by Ethan Gotch. And it is, of course, Washington Post is shutting down gaming section amid wider layoffs. And it goes as follows. The Washington Post imposed more layoffs on Tuesday, just a week after owner Jeff Bezos visited its Washington, D.C. office. Among the ritual sacrifices will be Launcher, the newspaper's burgeoning gaming section, which routinely broke important news stories, landed big interviews, and asked the tough questions. Launcher had only just turned 3 years old last fall and was one of the few attempts by a mainstream media outlet to tackle the unwieldy world of video games in a way that wasn't condescending or misinformed. Kotaku understands that some of its team will be reassigned to other parts of the Washington Post, while the others will be laid off, and due to their union contracts, those affected will still be employed until March 31st. Now, it's important to note 50 positions are going to be eliminated or reportedly eliminated overall. That's including 30 vacancies that will go unfilled, and then 20 staff members who will no longer have jobs. And again, as they said, not all 20 staff members are from the Launcher division. It's just most of those are coming from there. So, Pete, I got to ask you, we talked a lot about some of the layoffs that have been going on, including, of course, in recent weeks or last week from GameSpot and Giant Bomb. So what is your reaction to seeing more layoffs coming in the video game realm, and this time, of course, more layoffs in the video game journalism realm?
It sucks. Layoffs are always terrible. They're awful for the people that get affected by it, and even the people that aren't directly affected by it, because it usually means their workload increases for no pay, because they're not really going to give them a raise, or the raise will be like really minor. It's really egregious in the sense of, like, it's Jeff Bezos, who clearly has the money that can cover all this, doesn't need to do that. But even from a reporting standpoint, 2023 is going to be one of the biggest years of gaming, projected to be one of the biggest years of gaming, like, ever. And a recent articles listed in Kotaku article that we just read even say that, like, by, like, 2027, the back half of the decade, it's going to be a $300 billion business. So it's only going to keep growing. You could definitely have a place to have people that are notified and understand the industry and know about the industry reporting on this stuff. And instead, you're just going to kind of hand wave it and drop it. And then you're going to get a bunch of, and that's how you get, like, stereotypes of stuff, and, like, misinformation is thrown out there, because people got to go to other avenues to find their stuff. And they have to find people that maybe they can trust and maybe they can't trust. And I understand Jeff Bezos the owners in general, like, they're the ones that kind of that have most control over the message, so they can always say, like, hey, we don't want that getting out there. But, like, WAPO having a section that's basically focused on video game journalism is more of a net positive, I think, than a net negative, because you still have that name that you have to kind of sort of live up to when reporting such stories.
Yeah. And, you know, you talk about the misinformation. I mean, like, some of it, it's not just misinformation, but like this article kind of points out, and anyone that's paid attention to video game coverage over the years, I'm going to call it out, but like the New York Times, right? Like, they every now and then try to cover video games, and it's almost laughable at times on them covering video games, because to them it's so like unknown that they'll make like common mistakes or say things. Like one of the articles that recently came out saying that until recently video games were for kids, and it was like, what is your term of recently? Because that's not been true for many, many years. So like, what are you talking about by recently? So that was upsetting. And I just want to say, of course, I didn't have it in here because I saw it while I was at work earlier today, and I don't remember the news outlet that posted this, so I do apologize for not shouting them out. But the worst thing about this layoffs or cutting off launcher, it was that the staff was just told as of like last month or even recent weeks that launcher was profitable, that launcher was doing everything and hitting all their metrics properly. The reason it got cut and the reason that those people got laid off was because Washington Post was told they had to give layoffs. Like why. And it wasn't because, like, you know, with some where it's like, hey, this is a failing section, it's failing us, we need to cut to stop the bleeding type of thing. Like, they were a victim of, hey, we have to have layoffs, we have to lay off all these people. And of course, the Washington Post is not going to, if they can at all possibility, not lay off their regular newsroom, because like, then there would be no Washington Post. So that's why Launcher gets cut. And that's like, that's the worst thing, in my opinion, in that.
You give a false sense of security.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just awful to hear that. And then you just find out you lost your job right after that. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the next article here. It is an interesting one real quick. Naughty Dog says they're done with Uncharted and could be doing the same with The Last of Us. And it's coming from Tom Ivan over at Video Games Chronicle. And it goes as follows. Naughty Dog co-president Neil Druckmann has said the studio has moved on from the Uncharted series and could do the same with The Last of Us should it decide not to proceed with a third mainline series entry. Now, The Last of Us series has sold over 37 million copies since its debut in 2013 and is currently the spotlight thanks to the successful launch of the HBO TV adaptation this month, which, by the way, as an update, it has been signed on for a new second season as of today. But Naughty Dog is also developing a standalone Last of Us multiplayer game, which will include its own story and a new cast of characters. Now, during an interview with BuzzFeed, he said that basically if the studio can come up with a compelling part for part three of The Last of Us, and it's a passion project about that, they will make it. If not, it might decide to move on from the series like it's chosen to do with its other blockbuster franchise, Uncharted. Quote, I know there's a bunch of people wondering about The Last of Us Part 3 and whether that will be a thing or not. All I can say is, at Naughty Dog, we're very, very privileged that our publisher is Sony, which means Sony funds our games, supports us, and we're owned by Sony. They have supported us every step of the way to follow our passions, meaning that just because something is successful, people think that there's all this pressure that we have to make a sequel, and that's not the case. For us, Uncharted was insanely successful. Uncharted 4 was one of our best-selling games, and we're able to put our final brushstroke on that story and say that we're done, we're moving on. Likewise, with The Last of Us, it's up to us whether we want to continue it or not. Of course, there's more things that he say about that, but Pete, are you surprised that he, in a sense, uses this interview to say, there's no more Uncharted coming from us, and we may not make another Last of Us also?
Mildly surprised. Also respect it. So this is a thing that happens, I'm more used to in manga, but it happens in basically every form of media at this point. When you're making money at something, the idea is to keep creating the thing until it stops making money. They're doing it with Marvel. They do it with superhero movies in general. They do it with a lot of things and a lot of different media. So when you get yourself into a position where you can make the choice of like, hey, I can just do a thing that I want to do and not necessarily have to make money off of it kind of thing, a decision like that. Whereas like, hey, and whatever Uncharted we do, we're going to make a lot of money off of it. But we were comfortable where the story ended. So we're going to stop it here. When you get to that point, that's awesome and great for them. But I also will never disrespect anybody that will actually like, this might be my one golden goose egg that I need to keep riding and make money until I can't make money anymore. Cause like in manga, like if you get one serial that's like, that goes a really long time, like several years, like that might be your one hit, and that's it. That's all you get. Not everybody gets multiple hits. So I understand that, even if it's like ends up not being as good of a story. But on the flip side, also, they can do whatever they want. They're not beholden to anything. If they say, like, come out in 6 months and decide, like, hey, by the way, we came up with this new story that we want to do for Uncharted 5 or 6 or whatever, they can go ahead and do that. Then nobody's going to say, like, well, you said in this interview back here, or Last of Us, for instance, like, yeah, Last of Us ended on a good high note. We want to end it here. Cool. But they also even say, like, hey, if we come up with another story idea, which I think they actually like had an outline for a general outline for like a part 3 if they wanted to, but they haven't actually done anything with it and may decide not to. But again, like, they're not actually like forced into doing anything. They could say one thing now and in 6 months or a year decide they want to do something different. So.
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, that's the thing that's for them, you know, if exactly what Neil Druckmann is saying, that's the beauty for them with being owned by Sony, yeah, is that Sony is not forcing them to do that, so that they can kind of do what they want to do. And again, they had a huge hit with Uncharted and a huge hit with The Last of Us. It's one of those things where at the moment it's kind of like, whatever they do next, it likely will be a huge hit again, because Naughty Dog, yep, is a great development studio. And so that's kind of, you know, where things lie. And like Cobalt put here in the chat, Uncharted 4 ended in such a good way. I'm glad they're making this decision. Better to stop while you have a good ending rather than continue and ruining it. And that is, of course, what some people feel. And like you're saying, sometimes it's great to just be like, hey, cool, we have a great ending, we feel confident with this, we're stopping here. I think that basically if Uncharted returns, and at least the way Neil Druckmann is saying it, it just may not be coming from Naughty Dog. It may be a spinoff. Yeah. It may be a different section. It may be just taking place in the Uncharted world. It may not feel Nathan Drake and Sully, the two main focal points of Uncharted. You know, who knows? But it seems like at least Naughty Dog is saying, like, look, we're done with Uncharted at the moment. And as you said, you never can say never, you know, like the prophetic words of Justin Bieber, never say never. You got to make sure that, of course, at some point that thought process, that viewpoint may change within the studio or from Sony. We have enough time to go to one of the other stories real quick. Pete, do you want to do some wrestling, or do you want to talk a little bit about trademarks?
I think we Todd teased the trademark, so we probably should do that one.
All right, we'll do the trademark one real quick, and if we have time, we'll go to wrestling real quick. We're going to IGN for this article. It's written by Ryan Dinsdale, and it's the day before devs say delay was planned before the trademark dispute. And it goes as follows. The day before, developer Fantastic has said it was planning a delay even before a trademark dispute pushed the game back 8 months. Now, speaking to IGN, Fantastic co-founders Edward and Eisen Gotovstev decried any allegations of scamming after several the day before community members grew concerned that the game was delayed for so long, just a few weeks ahead of its planned launch date on March 1st. Fantastic released a statement on January 25th, claiming that a trademark dispute had forced the delay of both the game and its first major gameplay trailer in over a year. We plan to move the game's release date and plan to announce it with their publisher Mytona in a 10-minute gameplay video, and then you all know what happened. So to be on the safe side, to ensure that there are no more transfers, we along with the publisher chose November 10th. That is a safe date given the trademark dispute. Now the game has been delayed twice. The first one was being caused by Unreal Engine 5. Fantastic is still confident that it will have the trademark dispute by the new date and solved and of course they're going to use the extra time to improve the game in the meantime. Now, Pete, people all over the internet were even wondering if this game is real at this point. So I got to ask you, what did you think when you saw an article say the game is delayed because of a trademark dispute?
Really weird and really odd. I can understand people's hesitation of like, is this game actually a thing, or are y'all just like kind of yanking our chain here, because I get the idea that the trademark would dispute would stop them from like releasing any gameplay video or stuff like that, but like also like what are we doing here? Like, you haven't shown like really much of anything of this game, and it's not like Fantastic has like had a great record of this kind of, not necessarily this specific thing, but like their last game is like got a mixed reviews on Steam. A lot of the gameplay demos are like heavily orchestrated. Like, this is supposed to be like an MMO kind of game, and like not being able to go out into the world and like experience it is a little weird. And also, they've been using basically free help. They've been doing the volunteer thing, which is not great, not good. Stop that. Pay your people. All right. So there's a lot of like, are you doing this? Is this the thing you're doing? What the hell's going on? I know we just were talking about it. If they need more time to make the game better, cool, fine. Use that. But like, also not seeing anything, but saying like, hey, this game is coming out on November 10th. Like, they're like, we're really confident that this thing will be settled. Are you, though? Because, like, it hasn't yet.
Yeah, I admittedly, I've been really excited for this game. I really want to play this one. Since the day that it got announced, I was just like, dude, this looks freaking awesome. But I'm like, I'm with you where it's like, we haven't seen a ton of this and like haven't had a lot of news kind of keeping things going. And it's the fact of the trademark dispute happening just a couple of weeks in a sense right before it was supposed to release. And like when it got delayed last time, it literally was like, again, really close to about to release. And then it was like, hey, it got delayed. And so it's one of those things where it's just like, what is going on over there? I want to know what's going on.
You're doing fantastic.
And then, of course, as you did say, and I want to just for full disclosure for other people, is that Fantastic has been using volunteers working on the game to develop it and move it along. And there was, of course, an outcry because, you know, developing games is really difficult. And they were basically like, no, it's all totally fine, you know, type of thing. And they were making these volunteers work a lot of hours. So it's one of those things where, yeah, there's some iffy things going on over there. And then just because I wanted to get your reaction, because you did talk about this in the year episode, even though we're going to be a little heavy, is AEW's Fight Forever release date is reportedly held up now because of a rating dispute. Now, the game was supposed to release by the end of February. That is what they said. But now they're basically in release date limbo because the ESRB wants to give the game an M rating for all of its blood, while THQ Nordic and, of course, AEW want the game to be a T rating because, of course, that could impact who can play the game. So, Pete, what is your reaction to this whole news, and how disappointed are you at the moment?
Disappointed that it's not out yet. The weird thing to me was they want to give an M rating for blood and gore, which is like, was it just the blood? And like, if it's just the blood, then just tone down the blood. And if it's the gore, what the hell were you throwing in the game that was making it gory? I don't understand. I'm super confused here. It seems like a really simple solution from there. And the thing that's even more concerning that's listed in the article that you linked is that this might be the only time that Ukes and AEW work together, because there's a lot of like, I guess, back and forth tussling behind the scenes, which, you know, it's a wrestling game. So, you know, I guess maybe theoretically it's like that. But I mean, like, there have been disagreements between the two entities behind the scenes a lot, not the least of which they also had to, I don't know if this is a disagreement, but they also had to change the cover art because a very public argument between the pro wrestler CM Punk and some other pro wrestlers that are also executive vice presidents in AEW. Don't know if they are anymore technically. So,
yeah, I agree with you. I don't know what exactly is going on with this whole situation. I'm right there with you. If it's blood, just tone it down. If it's something else, what is in there that's causing this this rating
it's
issue?
Like what?
But yeah, I forgot to mention at the beginning, so I just want to say, of course, that was an article from thegamer.com written by Josh Colson. So thank you, of course, Josh, for that update. But again, when is AEW Fight Forever coming out? I have zero clue, because of course we'll find out once they get an ESRB rating all figured out. Maybe
3/16,
maybe March 16th. But you want to know what's coming out this week, so I'm going to tell you what starts with today, Friday, January 27th. We have Dead Space Remake for PS5, Xbox Series, and PC. Atone, the Heart of the Elder Tree. I did add the consoles that it releases for this time. It's PS4, Switch, and PC. We have GoldenEye 007, Xbox Series, Xbox One, Switch. That is on Game Pass and on Nintendo Online Plus expansion. On Monday, Monday, January 30th, you have Power Wash Simulator for PS5 and PS4, Trek to Yomi for Switch, Back Firewall for PS5, Xbox Series, PS4, Xbox One, and PC. On Tuesday, January 31st, you have Age of Empires 2 Definitive Edition for Xbox Series and Xbox One, Ink Illuminati for Xbox Series, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. That's coming to Game Pass. Also, Age of Empires is coming to Game Pass. I forgot to put that in the notes. SpongeBob SquarePants, The Cosmic Shake for PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Season, A Letter to the Future for PS5, PS4, and PC. We Were Here Forever for PS5, Xbox Series, PS4, and Xbox One. Superfuse on Early Access for PC. Undisputed on Early Access for PC. Thursday, February 2nd, you have Deliver Us Mars, PS5, Xbox Series, PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Life is Strange 2 for Switch. Tales, The Backbone Preludes for PC. The Pathless for Xbox Series, Xbox One, and Switch. Fashion Police Squad for PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. Gonna give a shout out to Ronnie real quick because I added this because he is a fan of this game. We have Melver Idol Expanded Edition for PC, Parish for PC, and then Active DBG Braves Rage for PS5, Switch, and PC. Pete, any of these catching your attention?
Got two of them. Inculinati. I don't know why.
Inculinati.
It's like Illuminati, but for whatever reason, it's really difficult to say. That game looked kind of interesting. Might give it a whirl. Don't know if I'll actually like it or not. It is one of those strategy games, so don't know if it'll vibe with me. But that one was cool. And then Fashion Police Squad, just that was just like it was like a Doom-esque kind of game. And I was just like watching the trailer for that. I'm like, this game looks like it's just damn fun. This game looks like it's a blast.
You know, when I added that to this list, I knew instantly. I was like, Pete's picking this game.
You're goddamn right.
And I also want to give a shout out, even though they both don't wrestle for WWE anymore, but shout out to Fandango and Tyler Breeze, the true fashion police of WWE. Oh, maybe they'll make a surprise appearance here at the Royal Rumble this weekend. We'll find out, of course, as it comes out. For myself, Superfuse on Early Access actually is one. I've been really looking forward to that one for a while. It's like a Diablo-esque type of game, but you use superheroes, and the part, of course, the fact that it's Superfuse is like you can kind of mix and match like your superhero like strengths and parts to kind of create your character to fit you. So that one looks really cool. I'm gonna give a shout out to Undisputed as well, Early Access, because that looks like, you know, of course, I've known about it for a while now, but that's basically like, you know, Fight Night, EA's Fight Night. It was also a boxing experience, so that's kind of cool for that one. And then, of course, you know, some of these other games, they're just, you know, essentially re-releases of other games. So, like, The Pathless is a pretty cool one. But, yeah, Fashion Police, I want to say. And then, again, just one more time, a shout-out to Ronnie, because Ronnie plays this game and, like, always is posting in our friend group about it. Melver Idol Expanded Edition. It's basically an idol version of RuneScape is the easiest way to to kind of put it.
Jesus
Christ. And he enjoys it a lot. But, Pete, we've gone over pretty far for this episode. I hope everybody was strapped in, ready to go, and got their water. But Pete, is there anything you want to leave our listeners with before we send them off into the weekend?
Just have a good weekend. Be good to one another. Sorry we went a little over. Blame me for my football hot takes at the beginning of the podcast. Luckily, you didn't ask for my Royal Rumble takes. I would have taken another, like, probably 20 minutes.
Admittedly, I didn't, because I thought he'll just be like, he'll just pick the people. He'll give a little explanation, but he'll just pick the teams. But then you went down this whole, like, I'm going to give you explanations for everything. And that's why I was just like, oh, God, I opened up the can of worms.
You opened a Pandora's box on that one. So, yeah. You know what? I'm going to blame Jeremy. I'm not even going to blame myself. He should know better.
All right. That is very true. I should have known that. But, yeah, everyone, I hope you all have a great weekend. As of right now, we are going to be streaming on Sunday. What is Sunday? Sunday is going to be January 29th. Currently, we're going to be streaming on Sunday in place of tonight, which is normally on Friday. I stream, of course, here on YouTube.com/PressStart28, but we had to record the podcast, so I am currently planning to move that stream to Sunday. And then also, as a current, and I say current because I really mean current, but as a current scheduling update, we will be recording the One More Game podcast for the month of February on Sundays due to Pete's work schedule. So, everybody, Sundays, for the month of February is when we're going to be doing the One More Game podcast. So make sure that you, you know, come here on the weekend. Get ready to kick off your work week with us every Sunday. But everybody, that has all been here for the One More Game podcast. I've been one of your co-hosts, Jeremy Culver, a.k.a. Darcy. This has been the California Thirst Quencher, Pete Legia, and we really enjoy bringing this to you. And as always, everybody, stay hydrated, stay healthy, stay safe, and keep on gaming. We'll see you guys on the next episode.